Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird, it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, 1962. We are recording this episode from the perspective of 2022, so the film music of 1962 gives us a nice round number in distance, 60 years ago, but it also happens to be one of the great movie years, in my opinion. A few of my all-time favorite films came out this year, and the music included in 1962's movies is a feast of different styles, big orchestral sounds, some European jazz, and a good dose of Henry Mancini. We'll talk about the movies of the year and listen to that music, and then for the trailer at the end of the show, we'll have a catchy little parody of the mindless pop those crazy kids were listening to at the time. We're going to begin with a couple of my favorite films from this year. 1962's Best Picture Oscar winner and Best Original Score winner was David Lean's massive film, Lawrence of Arabia. And if you are a movie fan, you may already be seeing the vast desert and hearing the soaring strings of Maurice Jarre's famous musical score. So let's just launch right into it here by enjoying a good 4.5 minutes or so of that very large-scaled music. This is an early cue titled First Entrance to the Desert, and it's going to take a minute, but I'm pretty sure you'll recognize the moment we enter the desert.
Thank you.
Music by Maurice Jarre, unmistakably from Lawrence of Arabia, the Oscar-winning David Lean epic about the adventures and misadventures of T.E. Lawrence, played by a little-known actor named Peter O'Toole, performed there by the Prague Symphony Orchestra. When I think about the point of this music in the movie show and the way music can completely color and define the movie-going experience, it would be hard to pick a more overwhelming example than Lawrence of Arabia, where you're practically colonized by the score itself. David Lean and Maurice Jarre would go on to collaborate on the films Dr. Zhivago, Ryan's Daughter, and A Passage to India. We now turn to another of my absolute favorite scores, music by Georges Delerue for François Truffaut's film Jules and Jim, a story of two men and a woman navigating what they think is a new, intense way of living, an experiment that ultimately fails, but that fascinates as it plays out. Delerue's score is really varied. There's a boisterous, almost music hall style opening, and it roams to the achingly lyrical segment that we are about to hear. Here's a cue called Confession in the Moonlight, a moment when two members of the triangle come together from Jules and Jim. Thank you. Music by Georges Delerue, perhaps echoing Eric Satie just a little bit there, from the soundtrack of François Truffaut's Jules and Jim, one of my favorite movies. Another French New Wave film from 1962 was by Truffaut's ally in that innovative film movement, the director Jean-Luc Godard, whose film Vive Sa Vie is in a much different tone from Truffaut's movie, but equally enthralling, a portrait of a young woman who leaves her marriage with high hopes, but follows a downward spiral into prostitution. Godard could be brutal on music, sometimes chopping it into pieces or starting and stopping whenever he wanted, but he had good material to start with here, as Michel Legrand provided a mournful piece that Godard could use as he wanted. Music by Michel Legrand from Jean-Luc Godard's film Vive Sa Vie, a.k.a. My Life to Live. This was a couple of years before Legrand composed his music for the all-sung film The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and this week we are paying attention to films from the year 1962. Back to Hollywood now for another of my all-time favorite films, The Manchurian Candidate, which is both an accomplished suspense picture and blistering political satire, in which a traumatized Korean War vet Frank Sinatra begins to suspect that his former fellow POW, played by Lawrence Harvey, is brainwashed in an extremely dangerous way. Although the movie, which is directed by John Frankenheimer, has some very wild sequences, the opening credits music sets a somber tone, as though letting us know that there's something tragic at stake here. Here's music by David Amram from The Manchurian Candidate. ¶¶ music from The Manchurian Candidate by David Amram, an interesting figure who we included in our program on the beat movement in film. He spent most of his time composing for the concert hall and only occasionally has done film scores. Well, a film that would rate highly on many people's most fondly remembered films of 1962 would surely be To Kill a Mockingbird, the beloved adaptation of Harper Lee's novel of racial injustice and racial justice. You can hear in Elmer Bernstein's main title music here a very American flavor and also the sound of childhood memory. Music from To Kill a Mockingbird, composed by Elmer Bernstein. That music plays over the evocative opening credits, which depict a child's box of treasures, crayons and marbles, a pocket watch, and some carved figures. Elmer Bernstein had an astonishing career, writing music for a wide variety of movie projects, everything from The Magnificent Seven and The Great Escape to Animal House and Airplane. His other work in 1962 includes The Birdman of Alcatraz, that's a very moody piece of music, and also Walk on the Wild Side, pretty crazy film based on a Nelson Algren novel set amongst the lower life in New Orleans. That same novel, by the way, served as an inspiration to Lou Reed when he was writing his song, Walk on the Wild Side, a few years later. Here's music from the film, and I think you will hear that its slinky swagger is quite different from To Kill a Mockingbird. If you've ever seen this movie, by the way, you should remember the black cat that strides through the opening credits. Credits created by the great designer Saul Bass. The opening credits music from Walk on the Wild Side, composed by Elmer Bernstein. And it's kind of a trashy movie in many ways, but I think if you've ever seen it, it's very easy to picture the black cat that slinks through those opening credits to that music. Okay, let's turn to another American composer of film music for a couple of his 1962 selections. Henry Mancini had just done Breakfast at Tiffany's the year before with its classic song, Moon River, so he was in demand. His score for the first Pink Panther movie was just 2 years down the road from here. In 1962, he worked again with Breakfast at Tiffany's director Blake Edwards on two very different projects, a tense thriller called Experiment in Terror, and a harrowing story of alcoholism, The Days of Wine and Roses. For the latter film, Mancini composed the title song. It's a very pretty melody, but it has a melancholy tone, which sets us up for this film about a hopeful young couple played by Jack Lemmon and Lee Remick, whose lives are destroyed by alcoholism. Studio Chorus does the singing here. The lyrics are by Johnny Mercer. The title song from The Days of Wine and Roses, composed by Henry Mancini and Johnny Mercer, and the Oscar-winning Best Song from 1962. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton. We're talking about film music from the year 1962. That song became a hit, and so did our next Mancini composition, which is in an entirely lighter vein. The great director Howard Hawks made one of his ensemble adventure comedies with Hatari, shot in Africa, starring John Wayne. And Mancini composed an extremely silly tune to accompany a scene involving baby elephants. It became another one of those hangout scenes from Hawks movies, and the tune became a hit. Actually, it won Mancini a Grammy for Best Instrumental that year. And you better believe we're going to play it now. Once heard, never forgotten. That's Baby Elephant Walk from the film Hatari, composed by Henry Mancini. Here's music from another big name from film composing, Alex North, who had made waves with his score for A Streetcar Named Desire in the early 1950s. His 1962 release was All Fall Down. Very interesting script by William Inge, the playwright who wrote Bus Stop and Picnic, about a ne'er-do-well played by Warren Beatty, who fatally charms a large swath of women, including a delicate type played by Eva Marie Saint. I will always associate this movie with a night at the Port Townsend Film Festival in 2001 when I interviewed Eva Marie Saint on stage after a screening of this film. Robert Osborne, the wonderful Turner Classics Movies host, was supposed to conduct the interview, but in the aftermath of September 11th, he couldn't make it to Port Townsend. So yours truly did the duties, and Eva Marie Saint could not have made it easier for me. Charming storyteller and a fine observer of her own career. Here's some of the music from All Fall Down. Music from the 1962 film All Fall Down, composed by Alex North. That film was directed by John Frankenheimer, by the way, who we mentioned earlier for the Manchurian Candidate this same year. Let's move into a little jazz from 1962 with one of the really fascinating European film composers of the 60s, a Polish jazz man named Krzysztof Komeda, who scored some films by his countryman Roman Polanski before coming to Hollywood to create the haunting music for Rosemary's Baby. In 1962, he did a jazz score for Polanski's Knife in the Water, an incredibly tense film about three people and a boat. The music has nervousness and weird angles, all very appropriate for this mind game of a movie. We'll be right back. music from Knife in the Water, composed by Krzysztof Komeda, talented Polish jazz figure who would not survive the 1960s. He met an untimely death by accident at age 37. Okay, from Poland to Jamaica now, for a song that plays under the opening credits of a little spy flick called Dr. No, which I don't think anybody could have predicted would birth a movie phenomenon that is still going strong today. The first James Bond picture opens with some of that famous guitar theme composed by Monty Norman, arranged by John Barry. We're not going to get into authorship issues here. There have been lawsuits about that, so we'll just leave it at that. But it segues in during the opening credits into this number called Kingston Calypso, which I thought we'd play instead of the more familiar twangy Bond theme. It's written by Monty Norman, performed by Brian Lee and the Dragonaires, a longstanding Jamaican band. You will recognize that the tune is taken from Three Blind Mice, which relates to the opening scene action.
Mice in a row, three blind mice, there they go, marching down the street, single file, to a calypso beat all the while. They're looking for the cat that swallowed the rat. They want to show that cat the attitude of three blind mice. Here and there, three blind mice everywhere, searching all around for the cat. All over Kingston town, pit-a-pat, they got the carving knife to cut the pussycat's life. The puss will get that knife for trifling with three blind mice. So beware, three blind mice, watch your step. Three blind mice, deadly mice. Three blind mice, where they go? Three blind mice, what they do? Three blind mice, body mice. Three blind mice, deadly mice.
Song Kingston Calypso from the very first James Bond opening title sequence in Dr. No, composed by Monty Norman, performed by Byron Lee. I think I said Brian Lee when I introduced it. My apologies. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are talking about the film music from 1962. We're going to keep a little Caribbean swing here with a cut from the soundtrack of a highly enjoyable political film of 1962, Advise and Consent, directed by Otto Preminger. This drama about the inner workings of Washington, D.C. has a varied score by Jerry Fielding, who would later compose five scores for Sam Peckinpah, including The Wild Bunch. Here, we're going to listen to a background piece called Samba Set.
We'll be right back.
music from the very entertaining political film, Advise and Consent, swinging in a 1962 party way, composed by Jerry Fielding. We can't leave out the Western, and our choice for 1962 is the big sweeping score for a big sweeping film, How the West Was Won, which was shot, in fact, in Cinerama. That's the super widescreen format that needed three cameras to capture it all. Alfred Newman, part of a Hollywood film composing dynasty, came up with a wonderfully spirited score, as you will hear immediately in the main title theme. Music from How the West Was Won, composed by Alfred Newman for the all-star blockbuster film Made in Cinerama. And let us hope, by the way, that the Cinerama Theater in Seattle might open again someday so we could see that movie in its original form. We turn now to another significant composer and a film that's very hard to see these days in any form, a 1962 biopic, Freud, starring Montgomery Clift in a rather amazing performance as the father of psychoanalysis. Director John Huston conceived the film as having the form of a detective story, with Sigmund Freud as the Dr. Sleuth, searching for clues to the unconscious mind. It's a compelling and rather mysterious film. Huston's ambitions were quite serious here. He actually commissioned Jean-Paul Sartre to write the screenplay, which Huston had to then abandon when Sartre delivered a movie that would have been 5 hours long. The music for Freud is by Jerry Goldsmith, and still the beginning of his long, great career as a major composer for film, including movies like Planet of the Apes and Chinatown. Goldsmith created a splendid score here, jangly and anxious, disturbing and dissonant, just right for an excursion into the darker regions of the mind. Music from the 1962 film Freud, composed by Jerry Goldsmith. This excellent score is a footnote to another Goldsmith project from much later in his career. Some of it turns up in the release version of Alien, the classic sci-fi picture, which Goldsmith did not have a happy experience on. Some of his score for Alien was rearranged, and in a couple of places, the director Ridley Scott went back to the temporary music tracks used as placeholders in early cuts of the film, which included some of Goldsmith's music from Freud, so you will hear it in Alien. By some accounts, Goldsmith didn't know about this until he saw the movie and heard his new music missing. He was not pleased. Anyway, there's a link between Freud and Alien that surely has some poetic appropriateness about it. Okay, well, speaking of poetic appropriateness, let's segue from Freud to our trailer selection today, Lolita, the 1962 adaptation of the delirious and notorious novel by Vladimir Nabokov, was created by the young and nervy Stanley Kubrick, and the score for the movie is by Nelson Riddle, who's not only a film composer, but one of the great arrangers of popular music during this era, working with Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole and countless others. Riddle's score for Lolita included a piece, which we're going to hear now, that is meant to be the embodiment of a certain kind of vapid pop music that a character like Lolita would listen to. Without further ado, here is Lolita Yaya. Nelson Riddle's composition Lolita Yaya, kind of parody of absurd early 60s pop created for the 1962 film Lolita, a track that is just as annoying as it is intended to be. Well, this has been our look at the film music of 1962. We really just barely got started. I left out some selections from musicals of that year, for instance. Would have loved to have heard something from the classic Broadway adaptations of The Music Man and Gypsy. But I hope you've enjoyed this survey of representative sounds from a great movie year. And indulge me while I play another track from my favorite film score of that year, Georges Delerue's music from Jules and Jim. This cue is titled Vacances, and you may feel you're on a sunny vacation in the south of France when you listen to its joyful cadences. This music puts you right there, as great film music does. I'm Robert Horton. I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.